Reading is Psalm 23, which won't surprise you if you've been here for the last couple of weeks. It's on page 555 if you have a church Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Page 555. So as a church family, we have kicked off this new year by going through this psalm quite slowly, a few verses at a time. Today we're going to be finishing up looking in verse 5 and 6. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again as we are thinking for your living words. We pray that we would hear you speak your word to us now. Thank you for breathing out this wonderful psalm for our good, for our blessing. Please help us to meet with you in your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine you're eating out at some exclusive restaurant. You know, the sort of place where the service is really attentive and warm. Ryan and I went to a restaurant a few years ago where when you went out to the loo, when you came up back, your serviette had been refolded by the waiters and put back in place. That's attention, isn't it? The food's amazing, the portion's generous, nothing seems to be too much trouble for the staff to do. Have you ever eaten out at a restaurant like that? Brownie points to you if you say, I eat like that every day at home. As we near the end of this simple psalm, and yet this psalm that is so deep and so rich, we have this image of being at such a feast, but with one big difference. In Psalm 23, we're not paying guests, but we're on the receiving end of a generous host, a host who willingly and warmly welcomes us. Before we dig in, just a reminder about this psalm that we've thought in the last few weeks. It's a psalm, a song written by King David about 1,000 years before Jesus' time. We don't know if there was a particular event or situation that sparked King David to write this song, but we know that it was God's Spirit breathing it out through his pen. Perhaps we'll see today that maybe it was written near the end of his life. And we've seen that there are three key images in this psalm, each to do with our relationship to God. So we saw 2 weeks ago in verse 1 to 3, that he is the shepherd and we are his sheep. And then last week we were thinking about how the fact we are travelers as we go through the darkest valley and how he is our companion. And today we have this image of him being the host and us being the guest. And I want us to see three things about the Lord today. Three things that are actually real blessings to us if we can say personally, the Lord is my shepherd. Three things that help us to see God in the right way. Three things that when we see him as he is, change our hearts. And so bring changes to our life. They help us to keep on following Jesus through life's ups and downs. Three things. Here's the first thing in verse 5. The Lord is your generous host. The Lord is your generous host. Look at verse 5 again with me there on page 555. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let's explore this imagery. The picture is of a guest invited to a meal by a generous host who's prepared everything ready. Now, you know, we can probably remember special meals out where years later we can remember details about what we ate and what it was like, and because it was so good. But when we eat meals like that, it's been prepared by a chef who we don't know. We don't know him personally or her personally. They were just doing their job. But here, David says that the Lord prepares the table. He personally takes care of everything for our blessing. And the word prepare has connotations. It's used throughout the Old Testament. It has connotations of setting everything in order. It's the word that's used in the Old Testament for the priests as they got everything ready for the sacrifices. It's a word that speaks of exactness and precision, attention to detail. That's how the Lord acts towards you and I. The Lord prepares, as it were, a meal for us. And it's a picture of his provision throughout our lifetimes as we follow Jesus as our shepherd. Do you notice it's a generous provision in verse 5? In that culture which was hot and dusty, guests would arrive sweaty and a bit dusty from the roads. And in that culture, if you were a good host, you would have an oil that could be poured on the foreheads of your guests as a sign of welcome and refreshment. The verse here in Psalm 23 literally reads, "My head is fat with oil," which you can see why we don't translate it like that, because that seems a bit weird. But it's a picture of generous outpouring, not just a little dab of oil, but a full outpouring. I've never welcomed a guest by pouring oil in them. We don't do that in England. I think we're worried about our carpets, and we don't really have the heat and the dust. But once I was called upon to anoint someone who was ill, and I'd never done it before, and I was really nervous. So I took along a jar of olive oil, and I anointed them, and I poured way too much, and it ran all down them and onto the furniture, and it was really embarrassing. But the picture here is that, of the oil running. It's my head is fat with oil. It's generous. Not a little dab, but a full outpouring. And that generosity continues in that verse, that their cup overflows. It's not just a polite cup of tea when they arrive, but a liberal topping up of wine throughout their visit. God is this generous host who, as we follow the Lord Jesus, wants us to know his generous blessings. I wonder, is that how you picture the Lord as you journey through your life? So often we can end up with a slightly wrong view of God that sees him as a bit reluctant, a bit miserly, as, oh yeah, well, he has to welcome us because he's God, but thinking that somehow he does so reluctantly and unwillingly. If we have that wrong view of God, then what will happen is that following Jesus ends up a drudgery rather than a delight. If you see God as a stingy and a poor host, then you're not going to know much joy in your relationship with him. Think about the times when you get invited around to a friend's house for a meal, and they've gone to a real great effort to give you a wonderful evening. You know, they've really thought carefully about the food they're going to serve you. Maybe things they know you like, and maybe treats that you don't have very often. And they've set the table really beautifully, not to show off, but because they want to welcome you and show you that you are loved. When you spend time like that with friends who've gone to that detail and that bother and that preparation, it's a joy, isn't it? You leave the evening really refreshed. And when they invite you again, you jump at the chance to be with them. That's the picture David is painting for us here. This is what God is like us, towards us, throughout our life when we follow Jesus as our shepherd It's a picture of ongoing welcome, ongoing generous hosting, overflowing blessings. That's what the curious phrase here, in the presence of my enemies, is getting at. It isn't a picture of vindication, as if we're sitting having enjoying this wonderful, generous meal while our enemies are sitting in the corner having to look on, having nothing, as if, oh yeah, look at you losers, you know, while we stuff our faces. That's not what the picture is at all. Rather, it's a picture of generous blessing as we travel through life's journeys in the face of the differing enemies that wage against our souls. The Bible speaks of our enemies in different ways, doesn't it? The enemy of our flesh, our ongoing battle against our sinful nature. The enemy of the world with all its temptations and all the ways it wants us to love and trust things that are inferior to God. The enemy of the evil one who lies behind both our sinful temptations and the false gods of this world. These are our enemies. What verse 5 is saying is the meal of this blessing of knowing God and knowing his generosity and his welcome isn't going to happen only after all those enemies are dealt with and are no more. But these blessings happen in their presence. As we journey through life with these enemies assailing us in different ways, God gives us his generous welcome and his abundant blessing when Jesus is our shepherd, when he's our Lord and Saviour, when he's the one we love and trust to be our provider and our protector. We know the Lord to be our generous host in this way, even in the midst of life's battles and struggles. So this is an image of an end destination when life is over. But it's a picture of God's generous blessing and welcome as we journey through the wilderness of this world, as we journey towards our true home. It's not a picture for when life's battles are over and all won, but of God's blessings in the midst of that journey. Now David, who penned this psalm, just think about his life. It wasn't smooth, was it? He knew much danger. King Saul, before he became king, wanted to hunt him down and kill him. He knew heartbreak and tragedy. He also sinned greatly in committing adultery and murder. And yet, he can look back and see God's ongoing welcome and blessing towards him. Perhaps some people think that David maybe wrote this psalm later in life, and he's remembering that time towards the end of his life when he was on the run from his enemies. His son Absalom has staged a coup and is hunting him down to kill him. And David had to flee Jerusalem. And when he's on that perilous journey, fearing for his life, there's an amazing little incident recorded for us in 2 Samuel 17 where three Gentiles, not even Jewish people, lay on a generous feast for David while he's on the run in the midst of his enemies. Here's a description of that wonderful meal that they laid on. They bought bedding and bowls and articles of pottery. They also bought wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, sheep and cheese from cow's milk for David and his people to eat. For they said, the people have become exhausted and hungry and thirsty in the wilderness. Totally unexpected. The enemies are pursuing David, wanting to kill him. And yet, even in the presence of those enemies, three people from outside God's people refresh him in their generous hosting and provision of a feast. When life is a slog, when the battle with your lingering sins seems so intense, when the world opposes you for following Jesus, when the evil one assaults you with fears and doubts, God your host stands there welcoming you to enjoy his blessings, even in the midst of those enemies. I wonder when you are in the midst of the battles of life and feeling those enemies assailing you, how do you view God? Do you just automatically presume that somehow he must have abandoned you, he's not with you? Do you see him as stingy in his help towards you, cold towards you even? If so, see the picture of God here in verse 5, the generous host, blessing you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's what Ephesians 1 says. so that you are refreshed even in the presence of your enemies, so that you are sustained even in the midst of your enemies. I guess it's another way of saying verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Can you view and picture God in this way and accept the welcome that he holds out to you? Perhaps you're here today and you wouldn't yet say you're a follower of Jesus, you're listening online. Have you begun that journey with Jesus as your shepherd? Well, to today, see that God is this warm, generous host. He's inviting you to come in and put your trust in him and enjoy all the blessings that he's stored up for you through the Lord Jesus. The blessings that come from knowing him. Blessings here that are pictured as anointing oil and an overflowing cup, refreshing you in the midst of life's struggles. The Lord is your generous host. But secondly, we see something else about the Lord here. At the start of verse 6, the Lord pursues you. It's not that just the Lord welcomes you, but he pursues you. Look at verse 6 again. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And the word follows here is too tame for the root meaning of the word. Pursue is much better. It's a picture of journeying through life and at every stage knowing that God's goodness and steadfast love are right behind you. You can't shake them off. They can't be waylaid or distracted and end up losing you. My wife and I often watch police dramas and detective dramas, and there's often a scene where one of the policemen is following secretly one of the suspects, and inevitably the suspect managed to shake them off and get away. Not so God's love and goodness here. David says, they will follow me all the days of my life. And those words, goodness and love, are covenant words. They're words tied up with God's unbreakable commitment to his people. They are the defining aspects of his character. Remember when God was making that covenant with his people back in the days of Moses? And Moses asked to see God's glory. And what did God say and do? Here on the screen, Exodus 33. The Lord said, and I've made a mistake here, it should be the Lord in capital letters each time, which is the covenant name for God, Yahweh. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy, which is the word here for love in our Psalm 23, on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And then the Lord did just that. Exodus 34. He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love. It's the same word as in Psalm 23 again. And faithfulness. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Goodness and love, or some translations mercy, some translations steadfast love, some translations loving kindness. All those things lie behind that word. Characteristics of an unchanging God. So it's not somehow impersonal, abstract ideas that are following us, pursuing us through life as we follow Jesus. But God himself, the Lord himself, pursues us as we travel through life. And so David can say, surely God will always follow me in this way. And the word surely here has a connotation of exclusivity. We might say only goodness and steadfast love will follow me. Only because only God displays these things consistently and perfectly and always to his people. When you and I end up in an argument with somebody we know well, sometimes we end up saying, you're always like this. You always do that. That's just like you. Ever said that? So saying you're dependable, but in a negative way. Not so in verse 6. The Lord is dependable. He's always like that, but in a good way. The Lord will always show you his committed, never-breaking love if you are in Christ Jesus. Now, is David just making an exaggeration here? How can David say this with all the trials and heartbreaks and tragedies that he went through in his life? Perhaps David wrote this near the end of his life, and as he looks over his shoulder at all the things that he's experienced, he could see, even through the hard things, that God was still committed to do just good to him, to never stop loving him, to never stop showing him mercy. Perhaps we can say that with hindsight too. For some of us, we might be only able to say that with hindsight when we are at home with the Lord and we fully understand and see why we went through different things. Perhaps only then we'll be able to say, only your goodness and love follow me. But sometimes even in the midst of darkness, like David experienced, we can affirm it too. Many years ago when I was a teenager, I had the privilege to hear a lady called Helen Roosevelt speak. Perhaps some of you have read her story, amazing story. She was a missionary to Belgian Congo in Africa in the 1950s and 60s. And in the early 60s, an awful civil war broke out in the country. And in 1964, she was brutally beaten and raped during that civil war. This is what she said about it. She said, on that dreadful night, beaten and bruised, terrified and tormented, and utterly alone, I had felt at last God had failed me. Surely he could have stepped in earlier. Surely things need not have gone that far. I had reached what seemed to be the ultimate depth of despairing nothingness. But through the brutal, heartbreaking experience of rape, God met with me with outstretched arms of love. It was an unbelievable experience. He was so utterly there, so totally understanding. His comfort was so complete, and suddenly I knew, I really knew, that his love was unutterably sufficient. He did love with me. Now, you and I might never know and experience a situation so extreme. We might not experience such a dramatic revelation of God's love. But we know from Psalm 23, verse 6, even in our life's trials and agonies, the generous God of committed love and goodness is there pursuing us. I wonder, do you know anything else, any greater security than that unbreakable love of God? God's committed covenant love towards you. If you are in Christ Jesus, nothing can separate you from that love. Only goodness and loving kindness will pursue you all the days of your life. And again, does that make you picture or view God slightly differently? Realizing this is who he is towards you. Even this last week, even in this coming week, with whatever things you might face, the things that you're struggling with. Does knowing this is what God is like and what he is doing change the way that you view your problems, difficulties? Yes, the Lord is your generous host, welcome you to know his blessings, but he's also the one who pursues you through all your days with his goodness and love. And why does he do that? Well, the third thing that we see in these verses today, the third aspect of who he is and his desires, helps to explain why he acts like this towards us. Lastly, this morning, the end of verse 6, we see that the Lord desires you to be with him forever. We come to the final affirmation of faith in Psalm 23. 2 weeks ago, we joined David in affirming in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, so I lack nothing. Last week we saw that the Lord accompanies us even through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we can affirm, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, verse 4. And then finally we come to a final affirmation of faith in verse 6. We can declare, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can have this assurance when we know the Lord as our generous host, welcoming us into his blessings. We can have this assurance that this is where we will end up when we know that his goodness and his love will follow us all the days of our lives. When Jesus is the shepherd we trust and love and follow, our final destination is both sure and secure. Because this has always been God's desire. His desire has always been that you would be with him as one of his people and that you would know him in that way. It's why he created everything. It's why he, after Adam and Eve rebelled and lost that perfection, he made a way for sin to be atoned for and that he could live amidst their community at the center in the tabernacle. He wanted his people to be with him. That's why Jesus came. The night before he was killed on the cross, he told his chosen disciples this from John 14. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Prepare. Seen that word already today. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so you may also be where I am. The whole story of the Bible is God working to make it possible for that desire to be fulfilled, to have his own people with him forever and ever. And after Jesus returns and the fullness of God's kingdom is established in the new heavens and earth, that's going to be our reality. Look how the Bible ends in Revelation 21 with a voice saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God's desire for us to be with him and to be with him forever will finally and wonderfully be fulfilled. I wonder, can you enjoy something of the security that that gives us, knowing that this is our certain end destination? That actually even death cannot thwart God's desire. In fact, it becomes a doorway through which we enter his house. When we anticipate the certainty of this end destination, and we see God's desire for us to be with him, doesn't it stir your heart that bit more to long for it? It cannot be thwarted because the Good Shepherd is leading you safely through this life. So that day you will be at home, dwelling with the Lord forever. Keep following him. Keep trusting that in him you lack nothing. Keep trusting that when you're in the deepest, darkest valley, he is there with you. Keep trusting that even when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, that he is right beside you. Keep trusting that in the midst of your enemies, he prepares a table for you now, pouring out his blessings to you in Jesus. Keep trusting that he pursues you every day with unchangeable goodness and unbreakable love. And that way, you too will then be able to declare with David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Give you just a moment's quiet to reflect on maybe one great truth that the Lord has just impressed upon your heart from these wonderful verses. Maybe you can just talk to him for a minute. Maybe it's asking for that right view of him as he's revealed himself in these verses. Just a moment's quiet and then I'll lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of this psalm. Thank you that even right now you are that generous host, welcoming us in, wanting to cause our cups to overflow with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your commitment to us, to pursue us with your goodness and love. Thank you that you desire us to be with you all the days of our life. Thank you that in Christ Jesus, those days will be eternal. Help us to see you afresh Help us to see you as this host. Help us to trust you as we journey through this life, being refreshed from those blessings, that table that you've prepared for us, knowing that you hem us in, walk with us, lead us on. And thank you for the massive difference at knowing that we will dwell with you forever. Thank you for the difference that makes to how we approach life now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our shepherd and saviour. We praise you in your name. Amen.